know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two of the Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM, KMOX. We have Scott Jagow with us from the KMOX newsroom, who we've just learned has won a Murrow Award for original writing. Congratulations for three good things. Three good things
Thank
is
you.
A Murrow Award winner.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
I really appreciate it.
And I know the station, nice. we've won some others, but I don't know what they are yet. I'm being given the list,
yeah.
And I'll pass it along.
Okay, good. Well,
and yeah, is it a little self-congratulatory? Yeah. Who gives a crap?
If 97.1 or any of those guys won it, don't read those.
I'm not saying anything about those dorks.
Yeah, don't.
Come on.
Lauren. It's a real snooze fest over there, and as we say, life's too short for boring radio. Am I right?
How many times can we talk about libs of TikTok? You know what I mean? All right.
Careful now.
Well, am I wrong? All right, let's go, Scott Jagow. Okay. Tell us about your three good things this week, because that's the winner.
Well, what I did was, in that submission, I believe I had three good things.
Wow.
One of them... That is nine good things. One of them was about the Damar Hamlin, the Bills' safety, who basically died on the field.
Yeah.
Everybody remembers that.
Buffalo Bills, yeah.
And I wrote a story about how he came back and played football, which was incredible. Mm-hmm. And that I was going to be, it was the day of the Chiefs game, and I was just astonished that not only would I be watching the Bills, but I would be watching him play football, watching him just be a human being, which is incredible based on what happened. That was 10 minutes on the field. Anyway, that was one of them. I had one about NASA, about the Mars rovers.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yep.
That was part of that. And then there was one more. Oh, the one I did about my tape that I found when I was 9 years old.
Oh, you
remember that one?
You was a kid.
Oh gosh, that was priceless.
It was cute.
A cassette tape from 1979 or early 1980.
You interviewing your sister?
I was.
That's right.
Yeah, I was interviewing my sister, who was speaking in several foreign accents as a 7 year old. It was really.
She was like a correspondent, was it the Iranian hostage crisis?
It was.
Yeah. Seven.
And the boycotting in the Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking, and I asked a follow-up question, and I was just trying to be a news guy. And I didn't realize at the time that I would go on to do that as a career.
But I guess that's
awesome.
A good sign. That's a good sign,
I mean,
that you would, that you were doing that interview at seven.
And the funny thing is, I figured out when the tape was by the news that I was talking about, also the records I was playing. I was playing YMCA and Close Encounters of the Third Kind theme, and records that were obviously right around that late 70s era. So it was fun.
That's
anyway,
awesome.
Those were the three pieces that went into the submission for the Murrow. And I just found out right as we started this segment that it won.
So the Murrow Awards. So people who don't know, it is one of the most prestigious set of awards that radio stations around the country can get. Not to brag, the station got a few.
It's like the Nobel Prize.
Got a Murrow for breaking news coverage. Mm-hmm. And it was a story about flash flooding, which cut off a town. Excellence in sound. Scott Jagow won. And then overall excellence, KMOX News 2024.
How about that?
Yay. Overall excellence. Look at us.
We are overall excellent.
This place rocks.
Overall, I think we're pretty excellent.
Yeah, I think
we're excellent overall.
Yeah.
There's some areas, but I think overall we're excellent.
Yeah, I think so too. Very happy with us.
Last year, for three good things around this time, I found a graduation speech. I think I might do this again because I really like good graduation speeches. The one I used was Jerry Seinfeld, mm-hmm. and it was excellent.
It was his most recent or like an old one?
No, it was from days earlier.
Yeah,
so it
was
last May. I can't remember which school it was, but he's funny mm-hmm. as always, but poignant, and he made great points, and it was great. So I might do that again. I might have a guest Three Good Things essayist this week, which would be a graduation speech that just happened last weekend or something.
You better
like that.
Step it up, Murrow. Because
Mr. Murrow.
Yeah, if you lose this year.
Yeah, right.
It means you're falling off. Yeah.
That's what happens.
What have you done for us lately? Yeah. That was last 2024.
That was 20
last year,
seconds
pal.
Ago.
Yeah.
I just found out.
Now this is the new standard. Steve's going to be like, "Well, you won a Murrow last year. Yeah. This year you didn't.
What the hell?
So yeah, we're cutting your pay."
He'll still call you into his office and complain about something that you've done wrong.
No, he doesn't do that.
He doesn't do that to you. Wait, we gotta talk.
What are you doing? Right? Tell us about this week.
So this week I have Roaming St. Louis. I went to a place that's not open yet, but you've probably been there, the other location. This is a second location of Basso.
Oh, yeah. Love Basso.
I love some Basso.
Cheshire. Right?
Yeah. In the basement. It's dark with
downstairs.
The gas lamps.
Yeah.
I love that place. I just went there the other day, coincidentally, and then someone told me about the Basso opening at Westport.
Westport.
And that's happening on the 27th. Now I can't be radio anymore.
I don't do good no more.
So Westport, I didn't even know Westport was opening at Basso, Basso was opening in Westport.
Well, that's what I'm here for, to let you know.
Let us know.
It's on the 27th that it's opening, but excellent. I got to go inside, and it is not, it looks almost exactly like Basso at Cheshire, but there's tons of natural light, so it's not mm-hmm. a basement situation.
Right.
They still have the gas lamps, and the setup is similar. They got a bigger kitchen, and so I think it'll be cool. Similar menu, but more expanded. It'll be pretty cool.
So I'm going to ask, it's kind of a doofus question, I guess, when it comes to Westport, but how is Westport doing? Because I feel like restaurants open and they close.
360
like, oh, there's the
opened.
Pool holes. Oh, and then it closed.
Trainwreck's still there.
Yeah.
Trainwreck's still there.
Is it growing? Is it trying to grow?
Oh, absolutely. That's part of the story here is Westport Social is there. They have this new courtyard, which is really nice.
Yeah, they show movies out there.
Yeah, they've got a huge screen. They also have a huge baseball. They're going to have a huge club because the Rawlings experience is there. So, yes, it is very much growing. There is a new 255 apartment complex that opened in January called The Porter. I went in that. Really nice. The pool is incredible. It might be the best pool in St. Louis.
Really?
It's really nice.
How are they doing selling The Porter?
They said they were doing really well. You know,
because agree that when Westport was first built as a concept, there was this idea that it was going to be this new crazy hub, and then I feel like it petered out for a while.
It did. It absolutely did. And they acknowledged that. LHM, the developer, I talked with one of their people, Todd Hodling, and he talked about how in the 80s it was this new idea, live, work, play type thing, and now it's back to that. And it is with the Rawlings experience and with the new Basso and with the restaurants that are already there and the events, the parties. They just started the parties on Thursday. So Westport Plaza parties every Thursday or every other Thursday. I can't remember how often that is. But so, it's being reinvigorated, I would say.
I like Westport Plaza. I've always liked it. Yeah. And it did have that period where it just was down a bit, but it does feel like it's coming back. We've had a couple of work events out that way, and I like it. I like the area. I went to a Funny Bone show year, and then the people were out on that lawn area. They were showing a movie, and I thought, oh, this is nice. There were a lot of folks out there, a lot of families out there watching. I forgot what the movie was, but it was a nice atmosphere.
One of our competitors is there, radio station. You can walk in.
Yeah, who cares?
And see their studios.
Yeah.
With
good for them. Who cares? We have trees. We can see trees out the window.
We can see Soldiers Memorial.
That's right.
That's true.
It's better.
And the library.
So, Scott, it also has come to our attention that you don't like the way we pronounce things in this city.
Yeah. No, that's not really your That's not really what I said. I just said that some things are weird.
You think there's something wrong with St. Louis historically.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. Yep. I changed my mind. No, it's funny, though.
West
I don't
Park.
Understand.
Yeah. Oh, I don't like the way we talk. Let's go to West Park Plaza.
Yeah, whatever that place is called. No, this came to my attention because my girlfriend pronounces the store that's not Deerberg's. How do you guys pronounce it?
Schnucks.
Schnucks.
She pronounces
Everybody
it Schnucks.
Okay. Well,
I
so
love Schnucks.
Is she from here?
She's not.
No.
She's not. And she lived in Europe, so I'm giving her a pass on that. She lived in Europe for a few years, so maybe that's where it comes from.
I've never thought of Schnucks, but it looks like Schnucks.
I mean, it's spelled with a U.
It's spelled like Schnucks because I know I had a friend from Boston, and I said, "Hey, we're going to go to Schnucks," and he goes, "What's a Schnuck?"
Well, another one that she pronounces differently that is actually the actual pronunciation is Crevecoeur.
Crevecoeur.
Not Crevecoeur.
Yeah. Well, that would be, she's right.
Crevecoeur
would be correct.
I know. So that's what I'm saying.
Broken heart.
Yeah. So
she has a problem with Shodo, too?
Yes.
How does she say Shodo?
Well, I think she says Shodo, but it should be Shuto.
Yeah.
And the other one that is pronounced correctly is Sauge.
Mm-hmm.
Randomly.
Yeah.
Carondelet. But Sauge.
Yeah, Sauge.
I don't know how they get this.
The we got the pair right.
Hey, how do you say it? Okay, I'm just going to say this is what it looks like. It looks like Gratiot Street.
Oh.
What is that?
It's actually pronounced here Gratchet.
Gratchet?
Yes. Which
I never knew that. I always saw the street and I'm like, I'm not even going to bother with that.
It's pronounced Gratchet.
Is it really?
But yes.
Is that how we all say it in St. Louis?
Yes.
The ones who know?
I don't know what it would be elsewhere. Like Athens is Athens.
Where?
What is that?
Illinois.
In Illinois. Why?
It's Athens.
Why? Yes. And
yes.
Cairo
New
is
Athens.
Cairo.
Yep.
Like Cairo syrup.
It's
why
if you're going to name your city after another city, why change the pronunciation?
So to be completely honest, why is it New Madrid?
That's another
like
one.
New Madrid.
That's another one.
Because I was
I don't
corrected.
Know.
I said New Madrid Fault, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, Amy, idiot! It's New Madrid Fault."
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I guess
interesting.
Matt was making the point earlier that everyone says it a certain way. Is that the right way?
Yeah.
Or is it still wrong because?
Shirley Jackson's The Lottery. It was a short story. And that was part of it is Mrs. Delacroix. They all said Mrs. Delacroix instead of Mrs. Delacroix. And the whole point of the story is people did things without questioning it. And they end up stoning someone. At the end of it, they stone him to death.
Well, don't give it away.
Well, it's 80 years old.
I know most people have read it. But
that's like why, like that was the whole thing.
It was one of my favorite short stories, actually.
It's
alarming.
I taught that one, but that's why they said Delacroix, why it was such a big deal in the story, or why you should notice it, is because people did things.
And isn't, what's the water pronounced?
It's LaCroix.
Yeah.
That's the way
we
they do it.
We called the customer service.
Yep.
They
yep.
go, thank
exactly.
you for calling LaCroix.
I don't know. I mean, I find it funny. But I also, we were talking about idioms, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked up a couple of idioms. They're from different countries. They're funny. So in Chile, they say, look how far the peanut jumped. Meaning, mind your own business.
Can you give us, I'm going to guess what these idioms are.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How about this? The monkey comes out of the sleeve.
Okay, where's this from?
Netherlands.
Netherlands, the monkey comes out of the sleeve.
Yeah.
That means you got some dirty business, like you were cheating or you were doing something and it came to light.
Pretty close. It's the cat's out of the bag. It's the same thing. How about this one? It's not my onions that are smelling.
Yeah, it's you're the problem. It's not me. Is that basically it?
It's France and it's none of your business again. It means none of your business.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. That's inflating a cow.
Inflating a cow.
Mm-hmm. I know what that means. You're putting too much into something that's already big.
I think
it's already too much.
No.
I think inflating a cow means you're stop inflating the cow. That means. Well, now I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's not good radio.
Yeah. it means I didn't win a Murrow.
We're used to that. Man, we didn't win no Murrow.
Yeah, we don't have
Step
a standard.
Aside, I got this. No, it means to brag excessively in China.
Excessively in China or in China? It means to brag excessively.
That's what I meant. How about this one?
I hate when he goes to China and brags.
Yeah. when you step across the border and start bragging, it means you're inflating a cow. Okay. Thai dogs with sausages.
Thai dogs with sausages?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be German.
No, it's Dominican Republic.
Oh.
To Thai dogs with sausages means that your measure of it's ineffective. It's an ineffective measure.
It means to be naive. How about this? If you're going to eat, don't make it a small coconut.
Well, it means if you're going to go big, you know, if you're going to do something, go big, right?
Yeah, that is, okay. In the Maldives, that's exactly what it means.
Okay.
You are a piece of bread.
I bet, like, you're the bee's knees. You're adorable.
That's actually...
Oh, I was going to say, you took a long time, I liked you at first, but now you're stale?
No, it was what she said.
Okay.
In Italy. What kind of face is that? You look like a silly cockroach.
Is that English?
It's written in English, yes.
No, but it's
Brazil.
Not Brazil.
I don't know. It's interpreted.
What
probably.
Kind of face is that?
You look like a silly cockroach.
Like, is that like I think it just means RBF? You're ugly.
It actually means someone doesn't understand you.
What?
You know what? Yeah. You know who makes that face? Tucker Carlson.
Okay, here's another. Okay. Okay, here's one.
The confused kind of...
Tie a bear to someone.
Don't tie a bear to someone.
What?
It's a literal translation.
Is it Russian?
It means...
It's actually German.
Oh,
that's German.
Makes sense. Bear is how you say bear in German.
Yeah, it's a literal translation.
I think tie a bear to someone... It's a literal translation, but I mean it has meaning. Other than
I don't
just
know
tying
what it
a bear
means.
To someone.
I don't know what it means.
Tie a bear.
I don't. Okay. Oh, how about? Okay, I got another one. Mustard after lunch.
Too late. Like a little too little too late.
Yeah, I needed that condiment before
the
lunch.
I think so.
Okay.
You think so? You guessing at this point?
Well, some of them they don't have a translation. It's just stop ironing my head.
What? Where's that from?
Armenia.
It
means stop annoying me. I'm going to use that one.
All right.
Stop ironing my head.
Scott Jagow, stop ironing our heads.
I'm going to
step away now.
Yeah, see you, Mr. Murrow. Three good things roaming St. Louis. Chat with Stu Mac all Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
On KMOX.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So we were just talking with Scott Jagow about how we pronounce things wrong in St. Louis, like Carondelet. Yeah, Carondelet should be Carondelet. And Shoto should be Shuteau, right?
Shuteau.
I don't know. So anyway, we have a texter who says, years ago, a local TV station had closed their newsroom when they started back up, and they say this was Channel 2. They hired out-of-town people. They pronounced the street names correctly, and everyone lost their minds. And nobody told them the local pronunciations, like Gravois, instead of Gravois.
Yeah, that's funny.
That is such Gravois. A funny thing, just bringing in all these out-of-towners
who say it correctly, better. And you're like, idiot, it's Gravois, not Gravois, idiot.
That's so great.
That's really funny.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess we say de pair right, correct?
We say de pair right. There's Desplaines, Illinois.
Desplaines?
Yes, D-E-S-P-L.
Is that how you say it?
That's how they say it. D-S-P-L-A-I-N-E-S. I'm pretty sure it should be Desplaines, right? Or
Desplaines?
Desplaines. It should be Desplaines. But they say Desplaines.
Well, whenever you see like Desplaines or like I said, Gravois.
Yeah.
Should be Gravois. It does remind me of Key and Peele. Aaron. Desplaines. Okay, Aaron from Desplaines.
Robert is watching us on YouTube, and he says, I pronounce it Soje with a long O.
Soje. All right, it looks like Soget. I pronounce it Soget.
Or Soget. Maybe it is Soget.
I think that's what he means. I don't know.
I think he's saying long O.
Long O, okay.
Then he says, of course I live in Illinois, not Illinois. There are a lot of people in Illinois who say Illinois, and that really bothers me. A lot of central Illinois people do that.
I think I've always said Illinois, but I know because you've caught me several times. And the thing is, it's like 50% of the time, and I don't know why, but 50% of the time, instead of milk, I think I say
milk. You do.
But I don't think it's all the time. And I don't know why. I don't know if it depends on what word I said before it.
At least you don't say farty four.
And Washington.
Washington. That
Ooh,
one.
That oh. one makes me irritable.
How does that happen? My grandpa did that.
Oh, yeah. My grandma said Washington. And it was always she said Sunda.
Oh, like a Sunda. Yeah.
My grandma said motorcycle.
Oh,
like bicycle, she would always say, if you don't say bicycle, dude.
And she'd be indignant about it. Like,
I
well,
like
I'm,
it. I
how
love
dare
that
you?
She was indignant. You don't say bicycle, motorcycle.
I'll tell you really fun that we have Colonel Ripper who's watching on YouTube, and he says his map app says River Des Perez. When I'm going to Tam Avenue, they pronounce it Tom.
Do they?
Yes.
GPS. My GPS calls Ladue Road Lodway. Turn right,
oh my God.
Right on Lodway.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Give us your weird pronunciations. 314-436-7900. Text them in.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We will talk to Dale Schilly, Academy Director for City SC and broadcaster on Y98, about the City game tomorrow. Next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
See if the referee gives us one more charge downfield. Tied 2-2 at Energizer Park. Rolled out to Yarrow. Right side, and that's all she wrote. It's over tonight, the final barbecue of the 2025 regular season. Final score, St. Louis City 2, Sporting Kansas 2.
Well, City loses on, and they don't lose. They ended in a tie on what basically a loss. They were winning 2-0, and then they blew the lead late. And they have not won in several weeks now. Hopefully that will change tomorrow when they are on the road. And it is time to welcome in one of the broadcasters for City SC. Also, the Academy Director, Dale Schilly, is with us on KMOX. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, what does barbecue mean?
Yeah.
Barbecue. Well, yeah, barbecue is it's the battle between two of the top barbecue places in the country, and a derby is a match between two local teams. So in Europe, when let's say two teams are from London, they're playing each other, that would be called a derby match. Well, we don't have two teams in St. Louis or two teams in Kansas City, but we're from the same region, so we'll call this a derby, and it's basically a rivalry match, so it kind of works. Barbecue, I would hope you guys would catch on
now
to
I get it.
And
I'm getting it.
I knew it had something to do with the barbecue, but I didn't know what a derb was.
Yeah.
So that's a little more clever than I expected it to be, Dale.
Well, you know what? I spent a lot of time on it.
Come on, be honest. The first time Joey said it, you looked over and went, what?
What?
Actually, Joey borrowed it from me.
Oh, really?
I had a moment of creativity. Doesn't happen often.
Great work.
Maybe you'll win an award.
Because it's more of something Joey would have come up with.
Yeah, that does sound like something Joey would come up with.
It's a little short for something Joey would come up with. Like, it's too concise.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. Not long enough.
It's not pithy.
It's not as verbose.
It's pithy.
I love listening to Joey and Dale Schilly on the call on Y98.
Dale, they tied again.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
Yeah, I think Joey said that on the air. No.
What the hell, man?
I mean, honestly, that would be great broadcasting. Like, what the hell? City just tied again. Unbelievable. Make a decision,
that was a
win
tough
or
one.
Lose.
That's what
we were up.
Dale, so you're the analyst, right? You know how analysts a lot of times will jump in when something exciting happens. They're like, oh, I want you the next time they give up the lead. I want you in the background while Joey's making the call to go, what the hell?
Or because it's soccer. Bloody hell.
Bloody hell. Yeah, do that one.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to be held to a high standard, so I'll have to fill it.
All right.
But you know what? Maybe I won't have to. Maybe we'll pull out the victory this week and won't have the opportunity.
Well, okay. So you brought up cities like London and so forth that have multiple teams. Have you been to a ton of games in Europe, like Premier League or the Bundesliga?
I have. Yeah, I've been fortunate to have taken a lot of youth teams overseas, wow, both to South America and to Europe, and have seen my share of games. Been really lucky.
Well, can you describe some of that atmosphere? I had a friend who went to like a Premier League game, and he said, maybe it wasn't Premier League because I think it was different countries, but he said the chants were like brutal. Like they go back to like to world history, yeah, like World War II chants, really horrible things about people dying. Yeah. Yeah.
So one that stands out to me, it's very clever, was Arsenal, which is a team from London, versus Liverpool. This is 15, 20 years ago. And Liverpool had an interim coach, or they called him a caretaker coach. He was rounding out the end of the year for Liverpool, and he had a big nose. And whenever he stood up, this is the truth, you can't make this up. Whenever he stood up to coach, the Arsenal fans would start singing "Sit Down, Pinocchio."
Oh, and my gosh. It's so personal.
If you want me to sing it, it's "Sit Down, Pinocchio, Sit Down, Pinocchio, Sit Down, Pinocchio." Yeah.
Like, how can you not love that? I think that's the side of soccer that we should really be promoting more in the United States.
Just hateful personal insults? Why are our supporters so boring? They're not doing any personal insults.
We need to find, like, the next time we play stupid Sporting KC, we need to find their deepest, most personal insecurities and then start chanting.
Oh, my God.
And just destroy their self-esteem.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you cannot.
Pinocchio.
Anybody, if anybody sitting
you'll
in the supporter
the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Like, you can go to the city website and you can find all the chants.
Yeah.
I need some of them to get more vile.
They need to get more personal.
Yes. Doesn't have to be swear words.
I mean, I do think
that's right.
Like, yeah, no, it doesn't have to be swear words. Like in Boston, I went to a first round game between the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs. I can't even say on air the chance that they were so vulgar.
Oh,
but to me, that's not as creative as singing. Again, maybe like I know in soccer, they in Europe, especially like the Premier League, I mean, there are TMZ paparazzi following these guys all around. You know, if someone had a breakup, maybe someone's mom was estranged. you could really drive the dagger in.
Well, I think
your
the Pinocchio
doesn't
chant.
Love you.
Damn. You find out if a guy's been orphaned, and then you. Oh man. Well, hey, I'm just. Hey, we're trying to dig deep here, aren't we?
I think this should be our new.
We're trying to win.
Project.
We're trying to win. Get into the heads of the opponents.
Yes. Dale, I'm going to be singing that song all weekend.
Yeah, that's my hope. That was the goal.
That's absolute best. Oh. All right, so tell us about Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota, you know, in the upper half of the table, they're a good team. Have some athletes that will challenge us in the back because they're just have some good attacking athletic players. But it's a game that you know, we've been coming along. We're starting to score some goals. You know, it's a game that we could get the result. And what's interesting is we play them back to back. So we play them Saturday. Saturday evening up there. We'll come home, and then we'll travel again on Tuesday and go up again and play them on Wednesday in the Open Cup match. I think that will be part of the discussion, I think, that we had last time, which is
too much soccer,
confusion between league matches. Oh.
Too much soccer in not enough days. Guys can't rest.
And you know what? Speaking of songs, in Minnesota, if they get a shutout, the supporters that stand behind one of their goals will sing the song Wonderwall.
Wait, what?
The Oasis song.
Yeah.
They'll sing it?
Exactly right.
Because the wall of the goal, you know, like brick wall kind of thing.
Wonderwall. If they get the shutout, then they'll sing Wonderwall at the end of the game.
Wow.
With the players. It's pretty interesting.
There's a texter who said to 314-436-7900, we can't be more vile because all we do is lose and tie. That's not very nice.
Well, no, that's when you get to be more vile.
No, because all they have to do is say point to the scoreboard and say scoreboard.
It's not their fans. They don't have enough fans, DL, scoreboard.
Why, Dale, did the city continually give up late goals? What's happening there?
Yeah, this was just bad. I want to say just a mistake defensively, and
you can say bad.
Yeah, and then you know, just that restart goal was one that's a moment where you have to be organized and everything is set, and you should be a little sharper there. I will say this, that on that second goal, I think Roman, when he's in midseason form, the goalkeeper Roman Berkey, deals with that either on the cross or the shot. But this was his first game back. He needs a few games to get under his belt to be sharpened up again. But those late goals will kill you, and particularly that one. We had the chance to win the game. We had two or three chances to go 3 or 4-0 up, and it would have ended it. We could have sang, but we didn't finish our moments, and we left the game hanging in the balance, and then we give up the late goals.
So if you're the coach, and I mean, you know what's going on, you know what's wrong. The fans know what's wrong. It's unacceptable. What do you say in the locker room? Like, how do you change things?
Yeah, it's a hard at this stage because of the you know, the winless streak is now it's 2 months, 9 games I think is where it's at. It's a hard message, and you only can say it so often before it just falls on deaf ears. And you can only yell and scream so often before it falls on deaf ears. So, you're just trying to pull the guys through it, and it takes the coach, and it takes the players, and it takes the leadership of the guys to help bring them through it. But you're doing whatever you can to get over that hump. And look, I thought we were over it when we scored the second goal against Sporting the other day. As fortunate as that goal was, where we shot it, it deflected off of one of our players and completely redirected into an open goal because the goalkeeper had moved to save the original shot. I thought, finally, we're getting the breaks that we need. And then the tables turned in the second half.
Dale, where should this team be? The Blues, right? Going into the season, we didn't know if they would be a playoff team. Was it some kind of transition year? So you know, sometimes there are teams that are championship teams, other times there are question marks. But where do you think they should be? They only have 2 wins this season.
Yeah, I would say that considering where we are physically with all the injuries, I would say we're a little below where I thought, but considering the injuries, you can't be surprised. But when we get the guys back, we should be able to start climbing the table. I mean, we need Totlin back. We need Kessler back. We need Leuven back. We need to get the guys healthy again so that we can, start to match up better with with the teams. Now, we're starting to get these guys back. Chris Durkin was out running. He trained last week. Hopefully we'll see him in one of these Minnesota games. Kessler got 15 minutes the other night for the first time in a couple of months. Totland was close to getting back in. He had a little bit of a setback, but I know he's getting closer. So just being able to get healthy bodies back is key. And once we get them back, I think we can make a push. We're only 6 points out of the playoff line, which is a fair amount this early, but also because it's this early, we have more time to catch, you know, to get on the good side of the winning and losing and make some ground up.
The amount of injuries they've had this year, and they had them a lot last year, is this unusual, the sort of injury trouble they've been having?
Yeah, I would say so. And it's just some of them are you know, injuries that you'd like to think could be avoided. Some of them, you know, are just random injuries. Roman taking a shot that, you know, somebody hit hard and then happened to break his hand. You know, so we've had those. Like Chris Durkin the other day could have played the other night, and in practice he, you know, hit with somebody or slipped or whatever, fell, landed on his knee and re-injured it. Not in a major way, but in a way that he needed to stay out for another week and not participate in the game. There's just been some of those weird knocks that have set us back. And yeah, it's really unfortunate this year. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen anything quite like it.
All right, tomorrow night against Minnesota, it will be City SC. The kickoff is at 7:30. Dale Schilly will be on the call on Y98 along with Joey Zanaboni. And as we say goodbye here, a texter says that their two favorite European soccer chants are when England fans chant against Germany, two World Wars and one World Cup. The other English chant is when your team is destroying the other team and they say, can we play you every week? That's great. I love it, man. They got the English have it down, man. They know what they're doing. All right,
Dale, got it down.
We'll be listening tomorrow.
Thank you. All right, keep singing the song.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week, too. Dale Schilly is the City SC Academy Director, and he has the call on Y98. It's Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji. When we come back. Sit down, Pinocchio. That's not nice. That is so
personal. What if they
called
you fat face? Like, sit down, fat face.
Hey there, fat neck, sit down. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Well, this would be a huge bummer. You're flying. Let's say you are flying from San Francisco and you're trying to get to Sydney. Well, or let me rephrase that. Sydney to San Francisco. It takes longer than the 13 hours, Ranj. Because you get some issues. It takes 28 hours. So United Airlines flight 870 took 28 hours to reach San Francisco. After leaving Sydney, it diverted to Samoa, had to stop for a while. Then it diverted again to Hawaii, where they had to like change staff because of union rules with the flight crew. And then finally, after sitting in Hawaii for hours and hours and hours, it returned back to San Francisco. So people got on the plane thinking they would be on the plane for 13 hours. It actually took 28 consecutive hours.
Ugh.
And the crew, they get to change, right? Because they're working, not the passengers. The passengers are stuck in their seats for 28 hours.
Ugh.
I would lose
my
mind.
Dude, I can't. I don't understand making people sit on a plane. I don't get it. Maybe there's a logistical issue with getting them off so that they can just be at least inside and not have to...
Yeah. What happened was they had to go to Samoa because there was like a medical emergency.
Okay.
So they landed in Samoa. The problem is United Airlines doesn't have like a regular crew stationed at Samoa. They don't normally fly there.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So because they stopped in Samoa, it ate up so many hours that they had to go to their nearest place, which was Hawaii, to switch out the flight crew. And that took hours. And yeah, and so people are stuck for 28 hours.
Amy, you did see a week ago that the childhood home of Robert Prevost, who is now Pope Leo, yes, out of Chicago, his childhood home in Dalton, Illinois, had been placed on the market for just a few days before he was named Pope. Okay. And as soon as that happened, the house was taken off the market, of course. It was on the market for $245,000, almost $246,000. That was the asking price. Well, the owners had bought it back last May, a year ago, for $66,000. And they were planning to flip it, and it looks like they renovated the home and were about to sell it. Well, now they have put it back on the market.
Oh, really?
Yes, but they are doing it in a private auction. So they stand to make a whole lot more money than the $250,000 that it was on the market for.
But it's not his family, correct? It's just whoever bought the home,
correct,
that he grew up in.
That's right.
And they're like, oh. How did they know?
How did they know it was his childhood home?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess anybody who would live in the area would know who lived there in the past. Oh. Probably just that way.
Maybe. I don't know.
How much do you think that house? It's a 750-foot square foot house.
750? That is not big.
That's not big.
That's not big.
And can you imagine? The asking price before we knew it was Pope Leo's house was $250 for a 750.
What area is it in? It's the south
Dalton,
side?
Illinois. So it's 141st, which is pretty south.
Pretty far south.
Yeah.
Because
like Sox Park is 35th. So okay, we're talking another 110 blocks south.
Is that
south,
like a nice area now? That
I don't think it's a bad area. I mean, I've heard of Dalton. I've never been there. I think it's just a middle class town.
If you are someone where that would be important to you, and you would feel that it was like, hey, I'm living in the Pope's old house, I bet you could get $500,000 for it.
I would
right?
think so.
Twice as much as they're asking. Well, there's a new show on NBC Chicago, South Side to the Sistine. It's not a joke.
Really?
Yeah, it's NBC Chicago is put. I don't think it's nationwide. I'm only seeing it on NBC Chicago, but it is. It's South Side to the Sistine.
I love that a lot.
Yeah.
Speaking of Cardinals, did you see the former Cardinal Rafael Furcal is in a lot of trouble?
I did.
Yeah, the former All-Star did turn himself in Broward County. He is facing charges of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon.
Okay.
And throwing a missile into public or private dwelling.
Throwing a missile? Like, what kind of missile?
I don't know.
Like, I'm picturing the Scottish long throwing, only it's a missile, not
details,
a log.
Details have not been released yet about what exactly he did. But I guess he had access to a missile. And it's, at least he didn't fire it. At least he just tossed it.
Hey, let me just say this.
But it can still go off,
on the spectrum of... like from bullet to missile. When does a bullet turn into a missile? Because you're still launching something that explodes.
Yeah, but a bullet
yeah,
doesn't really explode. I mean, certain bullets kind of separate when they hit.
Have you ever seen
tissue,
a bullet the size of a missile, or do they just call it a missile at that point?
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. We are all afraid of
everything.
Artificial intelligence and facial recognition and the robots and, 1984 and George Orwell and all that crap. Well, TSA is doing facial recognition in a lot of airports. And we have somebody to talk about that with us, Jeremy Scott, director of Epic's project on surveillance oversight. Why facial recognition is more dangerous than you think. He'll talk to us next on KMOX.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.